All right, so we're going to go, and we're going to, you can't repeat, we can't repeat the, Adam, will you help me? I want you to jot down on the board all the possible ways, okay? So you only get to say one method of transportation. Yes, sir.
Just one.
One.
Bus.
Car.
Plane.
Train.
Boat.
Snowmobile.
Hitchhiking.
Helicopter.
Pogo stick.
Hey.
Sure.
Air, hot air balloon.
Horse.
Wagon. Okay. Wagon. Okay. Back over here. Can't repeat what was said. We said motorcycle already. Some horses already said. Skateboard. Walking. Roller skates. Skiing. An ATV. Uber.
Sled dog.
Tractor. No, we said motorcycle already.
Canoe.
Somebody already said boat. Go-kart.
Bicycle.
Lyft. What's a Lyft? What do you mean? Okay, somebody said Uber already. Okay, so you can sit down. Subway.
Segway.
Skate. Did anybody say skate? I can't remember. We already have skateboard. What do you think?
Swim.
Wheelchair? Amen. Hey. Scooter. A four-wheeler. Well, ATV, I'm sorry, you can't do that. Donkey. Well, we did say horse, so... Anything else? I know, but. Okay, you may sit down. What is it? I don't know what that is. Oh, we got skater shoes. Anything else? Somebody said that already. Hoverboard? Is that different from anything else? Oh, does that count? Okay, you stay standing. Next. Ambulance, okay, we're going to say vehicle, car. That's enough. You can say Ford, and you can say, you're going to end up saying Toyota. So it's got to be something other than a vehicle, like a car. That's it?
Hang glide?
What's jetpack?
Doesn't last very long.
Okay, so it's not like a balloon or anything. It's different. Okay, you stay up. Yes, Dwayne. A camel. Okay, guys. No, something else.
We had carriage and buggy, but that would be a horse. How about an RV? Was it RV?
RV, I think we have that.
That's all I got.
Okay, you may sit down. Somebody said hot air balloon. Okay, you may sit down. Okay, sit down. Jump, yeah, that's feet. Okay, anything else? You may sit down. Taxi, Uber, it's kind of the same thing. A blimp, kind of a balloon. So, right? You see, you think it's different? All right, put it up there. Okay, my brother, sir.
Rocket.
I haven't seen one. What kind of rocket? All right. Submarine. All right, I'll take it. I'll take the submarine. Okay, we got two up. Okay, what else, my sister? A longboard. Does that count? Is that different than a skateboard or anything else? Come on, help me out. Thumbs up or thumbs down? Sorry. Okay, my brother. Okay, come on, quickly. Anything else?
A lawnmower.
Anything else? You've got anything else? Okay. All right. Okay, so did anybody say walking, bike, motorcycle, car, bus, horse, swim, kayak? Nobody said kayak. Canoe, okay, helicopter, balloon. Okay. All right. What's the purpose of this exercise? We're supposed to be talking about health and healing. How many? Will you please count how many are on the board? Now, we're just talking about trying to get from here to New York City, all the different possible ways. Train, I'm not sure if somebody said train. How many? Okay. She has 30, he has 35. Now, I'd like you to erase all of it. Tonight, I want to talk to you about health and healing. It is the will of God for you to be healed. And God has provided many ways to receive healing. But if you only know one way, you are limited. Okay? So it would be like if you said, well, I guess if I'm going to go from here to Syracuse, I'm going to walk. And then 5 days later, you're still stuck somewhere in Pennsylvania, and you're wondering why you're not there. It doesn't mean that you couldn't get there, but some ways are faster than others. Yes or no? Some are, some, for example, if you said Uber, somebody's taking you there. You weren't driving, correct? The airplane is probably the fastest, maybe the rocket, I think, would be the fastest one. Okay, some require more effort. Some require more time. Okay, I want you to know, I'm going to list. Now, I could have given you a handout. Just want you to listen to all the different ways that the Bible talks about that God can use to heal you. And as I mentioned some of them, I want you to just think whether or not you ever considered, well, two things. Do you even know what I mean? How many times when somebody mentions something, I'm like, what's that? And all of you were like, what do you mean? You shouldn't know what that is. I mean, there are a couple of things listed. I'm like, I don't even know what that means. There are ways that you and most of the church are unaware of. And we need to learn all the different ways because there are a variety of ways that God provides healing. And we'll talk about the different ones and which ones are used more than others, which ones cost more than others. Costs, meaning time or faith or power or other things. So let me list a few of them, okay? Gifts of healings, workings of miracles, special faith, communion, the laying on of hands, anointed cloth, anointing with oil, the prayer faith, casting out demons, praying to the Father in the name of Jesus, the prayer of agreement, unusual miracles, such as Peter's shadow and other things like that, obedience, special faith in the name of Jesus in terms of direct authority, not speaking like to the mountain, in the name of Jesus, praying to the Father, in the name of Jesus, casting out demons. There are and combinations of all these things. That's just spiritual ways. And most of us, and if I would venture to say, because I've been there and I understand what I'm about to say, most of us want, when we ask God, when we're not feeling well, when we're sick, many of us will go to the doctor. I'm not talking about physical healing. I'm talking about spiritual healing. Most of us want a particular way, maybe the minister or someone to lay hands on us, maybe. And we want instant results. How many of you, that's the way you like? Come on, just be bold, okay? And that is one of the ways that God provides healing, okay? Many times people are healed by somebody else praying for them. Sometimes people, when people come together and they pray or minister or the anointing, like in other words, what's the difference between gifts of healings and workings of miracles and special faith? Those are ways, and most of the time, those require little or no faith on your part. So there's the person. So if we have two people praying or believing, I'm just using that example. So two people are praying for your healing. So I want you to personalize this for 1 minute. praying for your healing. One person is anointed or has the anointing. And we'll see, what is the anointing? They say the power of God, okay, is in their hands, or they have a special gift, okay? And you perhaps have a little faith. So I'm going to put a minus one here, okay? And that person has very strong anointing, and their gift is very strong. Little or no faith, you're going to get results. But in order for you to get results, you've got to connect with some power. You got to connect. Now, it is also possible to not have anybody pray for you, but your faith is strong. So we're going to put a plus here. Faith in God's word, you're going to get results. Okay? Let's just do a couple of other scenarios. So let's say you have no power and no faith. What's going to happen? What do you think is going to happen? Don't be afraid. This is not hard. Okay? Probably no results. Now, when I say no results, I say probably because, you know, God uses also other means. You can go to the doctor. I'm talking about spiritual ways for a moment. Okay? We're going to have a panel of individuals in a little while. One is a born-again spiritual physician. One is a Christian counselor who's also a licensed minister, and one is also an ordained minister who teaches on healing and ministers healing. And I'm going to have all three of them, and I'm going to ask them some questions. So I'm talking about in terms of spiritually, is it possible that we want one method to work? I'm just asking the question. This is not hard. Is it possible that we try one method, when I say try, apply one method, but we really don't have faith for that method, that we will get results? Probably not. So understanding the different methods becomes important for all of us. Now, I share all this to say that most of us don't even know what I'm saying. When I list all of those, most people don't even know what I mean when I say gifts of healings. Most people don't even know what I mean when I say the anointing. Most people don't know what I mean when I say special faith. Most people don't know what I mean. When I say anoint with oil, yes, they're thinking, well, is it the oil that heals you? No, the oil is a point of contact. And when I say that, what does that mean? I'm sharing this with you because you will need to go and study. You will need to go and learn. My encouragement to you is that you go learn. Because during the workshops, I want to whet your appetite. There is a book I'm going to recommend. It's in the workshop by Kenneth E. Hagin, 7 Things You Should Know About Divine Healing. He lists 7 things in here, and he explains what the 7 things are. Okay? So you could look at that. Here's another book I'm going to strongly recommend by Charles Capps, The Tongue, A Creative Force. Very important. Another book I'm going to recommend, also by Kenneth Hagin. Matter of fact, in the workshop, I recommend that they always get this one. Matter of fact, the person who oversees this and the workshop, I say, I never want to come to the, the Wellspring, sorry, has a new name. I never want to come to where we sell our books and never find this, because I'm constantly sending people to this to get this one. This is called How to Keep Your Healing, okay? Now, I'm going to erase the board just for a minute. Now, we began talking about Psalm 103, and the second benefit is health and healing, and every week we're going to hit or talk about a different benefit. And a couple of weeks ago, so we're not going to take time to review, but I shared with you that one of the reasons we as Christians do not enjoy or experience the benefits that God has for us is number one. Does anybody remember number one? Ignorance, what's that? You don't even know what's available. The Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. By not knowing what God has provided for us, by not knowing what God has done for us, by not knowing what's in your account, so to speak. If I put $10 million in your account with your name on it and you didn't know that I had that money, would you know to use it? Would you go cash it? You'd be ignorant. You could be poor. Not knowing is one of the reasons we do not enjoy the benefits of God. Number two, I said passivity. If you don't know, let's say you do know, and you do not go and claim, what does it mean to claim? to take as the rightful owner. You can know it. You can come to church, hear about it, sing about it, read about it, dance around the church around it, and never claim it. And that's one of the number one reasons. And we talked a little bit, I'll give you quickly the example that we gave regarding that one. In Luke 15, we talked about the older son. We had the prodigal son and the older son. The father divided the inheritance between the younger son and the older son. The older son never went and took what belonged to him. He was waiting for his father to go and kill a little calf for him and his friends. When he had the double portion of the inheritance, it had already been divided. So if you are just waiting, the same way, God told the children of Israel, the ones that came out of Egypt, I have given you the land. Now go in and possess it. Yeah, but they're giants. What has that got to do with it? I have given it to you. It's in your account. I've already made plans for you to own it, have it, but you have to go and possess it. So to be given something and taking it to yourself so you experience it are two different things. And I want you to know God has given you many things, many blessings with your name on it. But if you do not know how to claim it, you will not experience it. The third thing we talked about, and I think I used the word foolishness or presumption, you can know it, claim it, and not know how to keep it. And the example we gave was the younger son. The younger son said, my dad, you know what? I want my inheritance right now. Right now, before you die. Father said, no problem. He went, claimed what was his own, and then he wasted it. He did not know what to do with it. He lost it, had to come back to father's house. It's the principle behind it. The scripture that we use for ignorance was Galatians 4:1, which says this, as long as the heir is a child, even though he's the owner of all things, he's like a slave. He's no different than a slave. Because he can be an heir, but he's childish. He's not either at the proper time. He doesn't know what to do with it. And he has to wait until he's ready to take it. He doesn't even know. He can be 5 years old, have $1 billion, but he can't use that $5 billion. You know what I'm trying to say? He doesn't know. He's ignorant to even what he has. These are three of the main reasons. So as we're talking about benefits every time, I want you to remember these things. If you don't know what you have, and then you don't know how to get it, how to claim it as yours, how to receive it, how to keep it. Many people, now the reason I want to say this, I'm going to call the panel up in a minute. The reason is because many people, many Christians are healed by somebody else's anointing, gifting, or the power of God by somebody else. And they get healed. But they don't know how to keep their healing. So whenever somebody is supernaturally healed, either in we're going to have the Holy Spirit conference or through the specific workings of miracles or gifts of healings or through a big conference or a big evangelistic meeting, if you were to study that, many of them will lose their healing if they don't know what to do. Is it possible? Now, I know I was going to ask the panel, is it possible to receive healing and lose it? Yes. You're saying, oh, come on now. Yes, it is. Remember, let me give you a scripture on that. Do you remember when Peter walked out on the water? He asked Jesus, he said, bid me to come. Give me the authority and the power to walk on water. And Jesus said, come. So thank God Peter waited until Jesus said, come, because you never want to do foolish things without authority and the power to do it. So he starts walking on the water. And then what happened? He started looking at the wind, the storm. He says, how is it that I'm doing that? And what began to happen to the miracle walker? Same thing. If you don't know how to obtain things for yourself and keep it, okay, the enemy and just living in this world, okay, it is possible for you to not know what to do. So we want it now regarding the birthdays. How many of you got a little gift from me? Did you open your gift? How many of you got a little card from me? It looks like all of a sudden they all disappeared. Raise your hand. Did you open your card? Okay, that's a gift from me. Who else? Did you open it? Okay, she didn't open it, so she doesn't know what it is. She might throw it in the garbage. What about you, my brother? Did you open your gift? Okay. Later. Okay. So they have no idea what's in there. Well, there's money in there. Later. Now, how did you get the money? How did you get the gift from me? You qualified. Did you run? Did you have to pay? Did you have to earn? You just met the conditions. Yes or no? That's an example for all of you. If you are a born-again child of God, if anyone qualifies, it's you. I want you to change the way you think, because that's the first way to receive health and healing. You have to believe that it's God's will for you and that you qualify. Not because you prayed hard enough, fasted hard enough, gave hard enough. Just because you were born into the family. Now, that for some people, I'm telling you right there, that's like, that will require you to spend some time and let that sink in. That took me years with Z after it to believe that, okay, you know, healing, maybe a few people might get healed, but not me. Maybe if I'm good, maybe. And all of a sudden, I realized God wanted me well. And I had to tell myself from the scriptures, it is the will of God for me to be well. It is the will of God. And for some of you, that's all you need to start saying. Because you don't believe it. Now you might say, well, but I'm talking about in here. Do you believe it? Even if I just said that, what happens? I want you to know, this is how you know. When I said that, what did you say inside of yourself? What was the first thing? Don't say it out loud. Did you say absolutely? Or did you say, I have to think about that one? And all of us. Now, there are reasons why people do not get healed. There are reasons why people do not experience healing, even though it's the perfect will of God for you. Okay? Now, I'm going to ask Adam and maybe Dwayne, would you mind getting those three chairs for me? I'm inviting three amazing, wonderful, anointed, powerful individuals to come up. And I'm going to ask them some questions for frequently asked questions about healing and health. And I'm going to have three chairs and one mic. Now, all of them can tell you, all of them are teachers at heart. The hardest thing will be that I'm going to ask them a question. They're going to want to explain and explain and explain. So it's going to be a little bit tricky, but we're going to ask all three of them. The first person I'm going to invite is Reverend Mike Hurley. Reverend Mike is an ordained minister here at Abundant Life. And Reverend Mike, why don't you just sit anywhere? Yep, you can sit there. Thank you. Reverend Mike teaches on healing, ministers healing, knows a lot about healing, knows the word on healing, okay? And can answer many of these questions that we're going to ask him. Reverend Wally Ogentola, would you come up? Reverend Wally Ogentola is a physician, a medical doctor, and he is also an ordained minister, born again, spirit-filled physician who works in the medical field. So we're going to ask him some questions. And then we're going to have Pastor Wendy Pitcamini, who is a pastor, licensed minister, and also a Christian counselor. Come on up. Deals with the area of the soul. Okay. I have some questions I'm going to ask you. Okay. And like I said, it's going to be a little bit interesting because of time. I'm going to ask Dr. Wally, we're going to start with you. Because for most of us, you know, we have doctors that we go to. We certainly, if we had an emergency, we'd go to the emergency room. So is it possible to go to a doctor and also be in faith? Can you do both?
You could do both.
Okay.
Plain and simple. I think the mindset is to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and not box God in how he wants to accomplish things. And it's just, if you have an open mind, just like you explained, there are different methods, and you have an open mind that Holy Spirit However you want to do this, I'm open to this. The key is for you to get the glory out of this and for me to be able to give a testimony to your glory. However you want to do it is fine.
So you're saying that I can exercise faith in healing and also go to the doctor. It's not a violation of faith. It's not it's one or the other. I can actually do both.
It's both because God is Jehovah Rapha, and he is a healer. And, you know, we have biblical examples of Luke and Paul and missions trips. We have precedents for that. Things happening in the wilderness with, you know, the people looking at the pole with the snakes and so on and so forth. And actually in the medical field, that's a symbol of healing that they use in the American Medical Association. So it's how God wants to do it. God made doctors. God made all the herbs. God made, it's his creation. And so irrespective of how the healing comes, whether it's through doctors or through medicine, who created it all is God. So.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. Reverend Mike, can you give Reverend Mike? Okay. Reverend Mike, what is the difference between the laying on of hands and somebody with the gift of healing? Can you help us out a little bit with that? I realize there's different methods. In other words, someone receives through a believer's just laying on of hands, and let's say an anointed guest speaker, minister, evangelist, operating in gifts of healings.
Well, the differences of these things isn't always as rigid as people think, but to minister with the healing anointing is going to require some faith on the part of the receiver. But if you develop it in faith for divine healing, God will add that anointing to your toolbox after several years. Gifts of healings can happen whether the person has any faith or not, without even any laying on of hands. There were people that went to Catherine Kuhlman's meetings who were there with a spouse, and they hated the meeting, didn't want to be there. They were healed of deafness. Not because they wanted it, not because they were looking for it, they had any faith for it, but just because God loves them. I mean, think about the guy arresting Jesus. He put the ear back on the guy. This was an enemy of the Lord. So, you know, God doesn't heal you because you're so good always. You can get a gift of healing when you're an enemy of the Lord. But there's not rigid guidelines and divisions between this, but when there's a tangible healing anointing, in the Bible says it's like showers of rain. And it's available for anybody who will come in faith, but it will require some faith to receive that tangible, real, substantive anointing. Amen?
Okay. Thank you. Pastor Wendy, just as a Christian counselor, is it possible for somebody to be a believer, love Jesus, believing, you know, by faith, but what are some of the things in the soul that you've experienced could hinder possibly someone experiencing the fullness of physical healing in their body? Are they connected in any way?
So I would say that there's quite a few things that can hinder a person from receiving their healing from the Lord in their solical area. The first one I can think of is unforgiveness and bitterness. If you are harboring unforgiveness and bitterness towards someone, I just said to someone earlier today that you're going to block the flow of the Holy Spirit to receive the full healing that you need. It's so important to make sure that you walk with a pure heart and that you give away those things so that you can get the showers of blessing and rain when they come down. So I would say unforgiveness is a pretty huge one. Another one would be anxiety, fear. When you're standing in fear, you're not walking in faith at times. So you need to be really cautious that you're breathing in and meditating on the word and really feeling, I use this expression all the time about you need to see Jesus everywhere. Everywhere you turn, you need to be looking at, breathing in, feeling, meditating on, and experiencing Christ. Because that will free you from the fear and get the faith in that needs to get you delivered from the solical pain that you're in.
Okay. Reverend Mike, we're going to go back to you and then Reverend Wally. Reverend Mike, is there a difference between healing and miracle from your perspective?
Yeah, healing would be restoring something that's biologically wrong, you know, that needs to be fixed. A miracle could be a creative unusual miracles. There's unusual miracles. There's also usual miracles. We have some guys from Teen Challenge here, and one of those guys came into the program with a 38 slug lodged next to his spinal cord. And he needed healing, but he needed a miracle because they couldn't operate on that because it was too close to the spinal cord. But he got prayer from one of the churches. It doesn't matter who. Some people always got to name names. It doesn't matter. He received prayer from a certain individual or multiple individuals. Doesn't matter who. And God dissolved that lead bullet in his back. And he's on YouTube with pictures. He's got the x-rays. I think his name might be Gordon. Is that it? I don't know. You could probably find it on YouTube. But the point I'm making is that's a miracle. A floating axe head is a miracle. Disappearing lead is a miracle. A healing is more where God's going to work with something you've got and restore it and refresh it and bring it to cleanliness. Amen?
Okay.
Sometimes we need a creative miracle to be healed.
That's right.
Or for lead to disappear.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Arms to grow out or anything like that. Yeah. Reverend Wally, I'm going to make it more of a personal question. If someone in your family came to you and said, you know, I've read the Word of God and I've been listening to teaching on, you know, standing in faith. You know, I've gone to my doctor and I have a diagnosis. How do I do both? Like, what would you tell this person? Like, how do I, you know, if I go to the doctor and, you know, do I just kind of say, well, yeah, you know, the diagnosis is bad. I'm just, like, what are some of the things you would encourage this person to do as a believer as they're taking their medicine and also walking by faith?
So there's a medical component and there's a faith component. The key thing is to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. The beauty of that is you don't have to be smart. He says, go here, you go there. He says, do this, you do this. And so that is a very important component. And that really takes an intimacy between the individual and God. And so one of the first things I would tell that family member is, first of all, you got to guard your tongue, okay? Because the words we speak are very powerful and they carry great authority. So when you're a Christian, you have tremendous authority that you may not even realize, and so you have to guard that. And so you have to speak health. So, for instance, if the concern is diabetes, I would say speak to your pancreas in the name of Jesus. Make some declarations in authority in the name of Jesus. My pancreas is healed. My pancreas is healed. My blood sugar is completely normal. And you keep speaking to those cells in the pancreas, it makes a big difference. If there is some level of anxiety, you speak to that spirit. You say, spirit of anxiety, I prohibit you from operating in my atmosphere in the name of Jesus. You say with authority. And so, if it's doubt, Jesus makes accommodation for doubt. You know, there was a guy who said, yes, help my unbelief, you know, and Jesus walked with that. And so the beauty of it is we have such a benevolent Father that would take what we've got. He'll walk with the little we've got. Even if it's a tiny little, like a mustard seed of faith, he will walk with that. He loves us. He cares about us. He gave the highest price. That's how precious we are. The highest prize, Jesus, his only son. If your parents here, you know what I'm talking about. He gave that so we can have this insurance package. Why not use it?
Excellent. I wanted you to make a note. There were certain things that were said. You notice all three were nodding when Reverend Wally said, you know, words. I wanted to go. And all three of them were nodding and a couple of other things. And speaking to the situation, not just saying, Lord, do this for me. I command you in Jesus' name to move, to change. I speak to you, body. I speak to you, legs. I speak to you, joints. We have the power to do that. And we talked about, we don't know how to do certain things, okay? We want to learn how to do that. But Pastor Wendy, just a question about thought. So words, thoughts, beliefs, can you help us a little bit understand, you know, how does believing come? I mean, how does a person grow in their ability to believe in the Word of God? Can you recommend anything?
Yeah, that's hard because I'd like to do like a 6-week series on that. She's confining me here. So my first thought is that we have countless thoughts throughout the day, many unconscious that just tell us to breathe or do what we do, but many conscious. And we have three different levels of thoughts. Automatic thoughts are, oh, did I leave the coffee pot on? An intermediate thought would be kind of the rules and assumptions we live by. They're a little bit thicker, a little bit deeper. The automatic thoughts are the ones that can be 10 to 20,000 a day that just kind of pop in there along the way. But an intermediate thought is, I should be a nice person. It's a rule or an assumption that you live by. And a core belief is what you believe in the essence of yourself. It's very general, it's very rigid, and they can be positive or negative. And some of the core beliefs that people have that come into my office that I have to help them through is, I'm unworthy, I'm unlovable, I'm a failure, something along those lines. So when you think about healing, you have to think about honoring little baby steps. Because if you have in the core of you that sensation or that belief system, it's going to take us a little while to flush that out, unless the Lord does an immediate miracle, which he can do. Amen? But I find oftentimes when you're working with the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions, that God doesn't often do an immediate miracle. I've seen miracles where someone was maybe so despondent that they wanted to take their own lives, and he did a miracle and removed that spirit from them. But I find that most of the time that what happens is he walks you slowly through a process. And that as you're walking through that process and you're finding your healing and you're falling down and getting back up and having good people come around you and hug on you and hold you and move you forward, that in there you're getting perseverance and you're getting growing in your faith and you're growing in your strength and you're growing in your hope, and more and more and more of you is becoming unshackled as you walk in the Word of God and you start meditating in his Word, getting your mind renewed, singing praise music, seeing Jesus everywhere you turn. Amen. So I feel like it's a process. I feel like you need a lot of love. You need a lot of grace for yourself. And you need to just stay completely bathed in the notion that God is a healer of the soul and that he wants you well and that he will be your strength and your help and ever-present help in time of need. Amen.
Amen. Okay, Reverend Mike, a question for you. Okay. In my own study of the scriptures, the four gospels, 2/3 of the time when Jesus ministered to individuals that we have record of, he required faith, or he would say to them, your faith has made you well. Can you tell us how faith comes?
Yeah, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
What
hearing
does that
and
mean?
Hearing, continually hearing. You know, if you have the Word of God, if you have anointed teaching. I like certain anointed teachers who I listen to on podcasts and stuff that do it for me. If I listen to them for an hour, I go to sleep full of faith. There's other people who will pull it out of you, you know. So faith comes by meditating on the Word of God, by hearing it, by hearing your own voice say it over to yourselves, you know. When I need faith for healing, I spend a lot of time in Isaiah 53. Where he said, surely. The only place in Isaiah 53 where he said, surely, or most assuredly, this is how it is, himself, Jesus, bore our sicknesses and diseases. And himself, Jesus, most assuredly, this is the one certain part there, took our pains and infirmities, carried them so as to remove them. So what happens when you meditate the Word of God, when you hear yourself speaking it, when you find teachers that put faith in you, you go get out of a place of speculation into a place of revelation. And revelation, when revelation comes, the light goes on. Like, I was listening to a Bible teacher once talk about God seeing his children sick like we would see a little animal in a ditch, a distressed animal. And who wouldn't lift it? And he had me put my dog in the wheel, in the, what are those things where your basement windows are in there, you know? And I, there's no way I'm not getting that dog out of that ditch. Amen? Revelation came that God sees us in distress like we would a little fluffy in the ditch. And once again, that came revelation. And I started to weep because without revelation, we're stuck with speculation. And speculation will always miss it. We've got to get, and we're so distracted now. The Bible says in the last days, not me. I limit my knowledge of all that knowledge out there. There are times of where people are going to run to and fro. I don't believe that's travel. I believe that's your attention span. And you're having ADD because you're exposing yourself to so much knowledge. Also, I believe knowledge is increasing so much that Christians are feeding on knowledge instead of truth. And when truth becomes revelation, you've got it. Your spirit will lock on it. Like, Lord, I see it with the eyes of my heart. Another good thing to do is pray those Ephesian prayers, that the eyes of your heart get flooded with light, because revelation is a victory when it comes. And I've used it many times to meditate the scriptures and speak them to myself and have Teresa have them on our speaker at night and stuff and build that into me. Amen?
So faith comes by just hearing. And the more you spend time hearing the word of God on healing, the more faith will come. And how will I know that you have faith? Out of the mouth, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it's not what you say at church. So just for a moment, I'm going to put the panel just for 2 seconds on hold. Just want to draw a heart here just for a moment. Because what Reverend Mike is saying is so important. So this is your heart. Okay, the core of your being, your spirit. So all of a sudden, people are talking about healing, remember, faith. So they're talking about, let's say, healing, and health. The more you hear it, it enters your heart. Now, at the level that it's here, you're listening, you might be talking, but there's no faith behind it. You might be saying all the right things, but there's no faith. It's when your heart is full. When the heart is full of faith, it will always speak. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so how do I know? How do I know when I'm in faith? I don't even need you to tell me. I know when I'm in faith. It's what I say when I'm in public. It's also what I say when nobody's listening. Because I could be in the bathroom. I could be in the kitchen. And a thought comes. It's what I say to the thought. It's what I say to myself. It's what I would say to other people. If it's inconsistent, it doesn't mean I'm going to be guilty. It's like, oh, my God, I got to go spend some time. And I just want to let you know what I do. So when I need faith, when I realize, because you know what? It's kind of like your gas tank, the fuel in your gas. You know, it can get low. Jesus said, oh, you have little faith. Oh, you know, the centurion had great faith. Your faith is a spiritual quality that can be measured in the spirit world. It can go up, it can go down on any given situation. You can get tired, you can get weary, but when you hear, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, not man's words, not other people's words, the word of God, whether it's through anointed teaching, the scriptures, and then you may be saying it to yourself, by his stripes, I'm healed. I don't believe that, but by his stripes, I'm healed. So you listen to teaching. Before you know it, there was a time I used to say, by his stripes, I'm healed, and didn't believe a thing. You know, didn't believe it. But as I kept listening to teaching, all of a sudden, things would start happening. And sometimes it would happen, just as an example, I'm going to ask Dr. Wally a question. I'm going to give a personal example. So there are a couple times in the past when all of a sudden I'd be driving, all of a sudden I'd have a headache. And I would just talk to that headache, in the name of Jesus, you go now, and it would go. And then another time, I remember I had the same kind of headache, and I said, in the name of Jesus, you need to go, and it didn't go. And all of a sudden my spirit says, just go to bed, you haven't gotten enough sleep. It wasn't because I needed to do something natural. So Reverend Wally, Dr. Wally, tell us a little bit about some of the laws of good health, diet, exercise, whatever, that you know that Christians sometimes take for granted, that you believe should be part of a balanced, healthy lifestyle for us. Now, we all have days when we don't do it perfectly, but can you share with us just some basic, foundational, godly necessities that we shouldn't be feeling guilty about that are good for our bodies?
I like to combine spirit with natural because we're spirit beings and we also have a body. In the medical field, in ministry, in the church world, we talk about getting healed. We talk about treating sick patients. How about even considering a higher level? I propose to you that how about we prevent disease in the first place? We come up with systems and strategies to prevent disease in the first place. That's on a natural level. How about I propose to you that we don't even get sick in the first place, so there'll be no need for healing, okay? And you say, well, that's not possible. Well, I want to propose to you that I know one person that there was no record of them ever falling sick, of him ever falling sick, and it's Jesus Christ. He worked hard, he did ministry, and so I ask myself this question. Why is it that Jesus Christ never got sick? What pattern of thinking, what mindset did Jesus Christ have to live the life he lived and not get sick once? No record of it. And if he got sick, it would be breaking news. It would have been there, it would have made the news in that time. So one thing about a great mind, a great Jesus the Great, is to try, if you want to get into Jesus' mind, is to try and find out what he says, because that is his mindset. And how you can get into people's mindset is when you hear them pray. Prayer, when you're praying, is a vulnerable period when you pray. And so let's take the Lord's Prayer, for instance.
Rumali, just for a moment, only because I know, I appreciate what you're saying, but can you help us answer again just the natural things that we can do for our bodies, like
the natural
things that Christians maybe take for granted.
So,
in terms of taking care of our bodies physically through natural means.
So, in terms of natural means, how about even just drinking water? You know, hydrating. Our body is made the greater percentage of our body is made of water, and drinking water is a very simple thing. Sleep, getting adequate sleep. You gave the example of headache. You know, we keep pushing and pushing and pushing, and I'm pointing 10 fingers at myself when I'm saying this. The body needs rest. The Bible prescribes that. There's Sabbath, you know, so we need to get rest. Eating right, you know, and eating right not in a legalistic way, but in a common sense way, you know. We live in a society where there's too much sugar. And there's sugar in drinks, there's sugar in food. How about, you know, some healthy fruits and vegetables that we like? And there's a variety of them. How about just some simple things like exercise, you know? You say, well, it's winter, there's ice on the floor. Well, you could drive to the mall and take a stroll in an air-conditioned environment and take some strolls. So that is an option. How about just having fun? Make sure your soul is enriched. You know, good relationships. Cherish your connections. Cherish your relationships. The people around you, treat them well. And, you know, people who have great relationships, they tend to be happier. They tend to live longer and have a great quality of life. Go for checkups. You pick things early. Maybe you pick up a mass and you exercise it and you cure people from cancer. And, read. Read about things. Listen to come to meetings like this, you know, where they talk about health. So those are a few things I think we take for granted, very simple, that can actually make a big difference. And I think... Those are a few examples.
That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you. Pastor Wendy, the Bible talks about being double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable. Can you tell us a little bit about your understanding of being double-minded?
Yeah.
might mean as it relates to being healthy and being a whole person and being balanced. I mean, just tell us what you think. How does that affect us as Christians?
So I'll give you how I describe being double-minded. Is that okay? So I think we talked about a few weeks ago about the spirit, soul, and body, that we're a three-part being, that we have this soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions, and we have this body that houses that soul, but it also houses our spirits. And our spirits as born-again believers is our perfected self that's been united in Christ, and that's that new creature in Christ. Amen? So when I think about being double-minded, I believe that's when our soul or our flesh are more in control than our spirit. If you want to be single-minded, you want to be tapped into your spirit, and your spirit is leading your soul, not your soul or your flesh leading your spirit. Amen? Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Reverend Mike. Okay. There's a subject that oftentimes we don't talk about, but I think it's important. There are times when the Bible clearly says, and many times, where Jesus cast out demons in relationship with people getting healed or delivered. Can you tell us, I mean, is all sickness, do people have, is there a demon behind every sickness or disease?
No, but there are, people get too far in the ditch one way or too far in the ditch the other. We should always be listening to the Holy Spirit in case there's some kind of entity enforcing a disease. In the last 5 years, we've run into a lot of people with spirits of infirmity. And I don't want you to think you have one because I'm mentioning this, okay?
Right.
But I want you to know that if there's certain things that trigger this just with natural discernment, but then there's a discerning of the Lord that points that out, which is the best, right? Natural discernment in this is if somebody has something and it keeps morphing and the doctors can't get a hand on it and it's over here and it's moving there and it's this and it's that and it's... There might be a spirit involved. We have to deal with those spirits. Amen?
What do you mean by that? Are you saying,
you have to exercise authority. We get people at the altar here, and sometimes I discern by the Holy Spirit there's a spirit involved. And then we have to deal with the spirit with authority and power. We need the badge and the bazooka sometimes, people. We need the authority of our position as born again, and we need the bazooka of the Holy Ghost to enforce against some of these spirits that don't listen to delegated authority. They only respond to concrete power. Amen? You also have to be aware that sometimes you'll operate in authority over a spirit that's enforcing something, but there's a residual biological organic issue that has to be healed by God. So you got to bring both things in. Sometimes you use authority to get rid of something that's enforcing it. Then you need some Holy Ghost anointing to heal the biological organic issue that remains. Amen? But we shouldn't be shying. Some people shy away from that, like there isn't even any devil. Listen, I fought a lot of devils in my Christian life, and they're real, and we have to deal with them. We don't want to become over-obsessed with Satan. We don't want to overestimate or estimate his activities, but deal with them when we run into them. We don't want to chase devils, but when we are confronted with them, we deal with them, and we don't love on them. Paul dealt with a sorcerer, and he didn't walk in love. According to Matthew chapter 6, he said, "You son of the devil, you enemy." I mean, you know, he dealt with these things with authority. The love walk seemed to go out the door, but it was the love walk because he was protecting the advancement of the gospel for the benefit of many where one was trying to prevent it. So we need to exercise our authority and recognize that God will download discernment for us where we're certain we have to deal with the spirit, but then there's also natural discernment we cultivate to discern both good and evil when it's present just by doing it over time and exercising knowledge of the word, all right? Is that
so
all right?
So what I hear you saying, Reverend Mike, is that if there is a spirit or that is oppressing or contributing to that physical, you can't just pray it away or just, you have to get rid of it, deal with the spirit.
And 95% of the law here is permission. If they give me permission, I know my business. We're at the altar to abundant life. Is this not the place to do it? No, this is the place to do it. This is holy ground. We've got authority here. Amen. And if they give you permission, some people don't want to get rid of the voices. Wendy, some people like the voices.
I'm going to actually ask Wendy that question.
Okay,
all right.
I'm mowing Wendy's grass here. But
actually,
we got
to give it to Wendy for a moment because we only have about 5 minutes.
Yeah, permission. I've had opportunities where People need deliverance. The second they give me permission, it's as easy as pie.
Right. And Amen? You have to understand, you have to resist the devil. He's not somebody that you play with. But Wendy, why don't you answer? Now all of a sudden I can't remember what it was.
We're taking over.
I know. I'm trying to figure. It's like five questions I wanted to ask you. When there is, like, you know, there is mental illness or a situation, memory issues. In other words, if you discern that there is a spirit being behind, you know, whatever is going on, in Christian counseling, how do you communicate that? Because, I mean, a lot of times I think as ministers we can, like Reverend Mike said, you know, you can ask a person, I sense this. In Christian counseling, if that were to happen, to discern, how do you deal with that?
Actually, I can answer that very simply. If I am discerning through the Holy Spirit that someone has a spirit or under some kind of demonic stronghold or something of that nature, then I just teach and train and tell them. I bring out what I know about the Word. I bring out authority with the name of Jesus Christ, and I start sharing with them lovingly what we need to do to get them better. And I haven't had anyone decline the offer. So I think it's just about being real with people. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. So I just teach the Word, tell them what's going on, tell them I discern it. And I use an old saying that Pastor John's used, I think, forever. When I say something, you can trash it, shelve it, or digest it. It is completely up to you, because it's going to resonate with you if I'm on base. And then we're going to just take care of it.
Let's give our panel a hand. You guys can take ahead, get their seats for a moment. You may have a lot of questions about healing. I think what I want to really say, and we're going to just close with a couple of maybe thoughts and scriptures. Do not settle, okay? For those of you, in these workshops, I realize there are people at different levels of faith. I want you to read, for those of you who want a little bit, just kind of consider doing this. In 2 Kings chapter 4, there's a woman, a Shunammite woman, who God blesses with a son. And as he's growing up, he's at a certain age, he dies. He ends up dying in her arms. And a prophet actually is the one who said, you know, you're going to have this child. And she couldn't have children before. It seemed like it was a difficulty. And a blessing from God all of a sudden is removed. And finally, when the child dies, she is going to go. She wants that child restored. She wants the child to come back to life. She doesn't settle for his death. And it says that when she finally reaches the man of God, the prophet Elisha, the prophet says to his servant, take my rod and go lay it on the child. And many of you may or may not know the story. So that was an instruction. The prophet expected the child to awaken. And Gehazi, the servant, comes back and he says, the child has not awakened. They didn't settle. The woman, the mother, said, okay, didn't get it through the rod. She looked at the prophet and says, I'm not leaving until we got to find some other way. And the reason I'm saying, and when he actually went, you know, the child was found in a room that she had prepared for him on the bed. And he walked around the house, and it says he prayed. And then he went and laid on the child. And it says the child became warm. He didn't settle there either. He went and laid on the child again. And then it said the child, you know, sneezed and whatsoever. I want to encourage you that if you have believed God for healing, or you have used, you know, and again, I don't want you to get confused when I talk about methods. All I'm saying is that there's more than one way, okay? And you had somebody lay hands on you and you didn't experience healing, do not quit. Do not settle and say, well, it must not be God's will. I'm letting you know there are many reasons we don't always know why people don't get healed. It could be something like unforgiveness, dishonor. Listen, dishonor is a big thing. We never think about dishonor. The Bible says that honor your mother and father that you may live long on the earth. The Bible says that Jesus went to his own hometown. He could do no mighty works there because it didn't honor him as a prophet. So it's not always sin or some other, or always faith. It could be other things. If you were blind and Jesus said, I'm going to spit on you, how many of you said, go ahead? There are different ways people get healed. If it's the Lord, you can spit on me 10 times. Okay? I'm sharing that as evil. Jesus spit on people. He spit on somebody and, you know, touched the tongue and made mud and put him on the... So what I'm saying to you is don't settle. Don't say, okay, well, there's no other way. The other thing I want to let you know is that for the way the, you know, and I'm going to say this and then we're going to have to close. There are many ways to where God manifests spiritual healing through us. I mentioned some of them. But there's one way that I would say I agree, and Kenneth Hagin would say, there is one way that is consistent. See, when you if you're waiting for the evangelist to come, the person with the gift to come, well, they may or may not. But you can always hear the word of God and receive through the word of God by faith. How do we know you're in faith? Comes out of your mouth. There's corresponding actions. That means that when you believe, you receive it, you take it for yourself. And you don't let go. See, when you receive by faith, it means that it hasn't manifested yet. You can't see it, touch it. But what you do is, you think of it in this way. If I said to you, you said to me, Pascal, can you just give me $10? Okay? And I said, no problem. And I go and I put it on a chair. Okay? Now, that $10 has your name on it, but if you don't go take it, I gave it, right? But you have a part to play. So what you want to do is you take it and you keep it. But you wanted the $10 to do something. So you're using it. You wait until you can go to the store and buy whatever you want. It's a simple illustration to say that when we ask God for healing, he gives it. But he gives it he doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to manifest immediately, but by faith, you have it. It's kind of like by put the money in your account. If it's in the account with your name on it, you have it. How many of you go online to purchase things? When you go online and you purchase something and you put your account number, your Visa, your MasterCard, and you get that receipt that it's coming and it's yours, do you have it? Yes, you do. I'm setting you up. When you pay for it and it has your name on it and the receipt said it has your name on it, it's on its way, is it yours? Do you have it? You do. You just don't have it in your hand. You're making room for it. You're talking about it. It's the same idea. Even though you don't yet have it physically, you have it. It's on the way. And most of us quit right there. We don't hold on to our faith. Well, we're going to have to stop. There's many more things I can say. But due to the weather, I'm getting a little sign that says due to the weather, we're going to close. So why don't we stand to our feet and have a closing prayer. Again, I encourage you to go and read some wonderful books, listen to some teachings on healing by people who believe, okay? If you're listening to people who don't believe, you're feeding unbelief, okay? Father, we just thank you for your word tonight regarding health and healing through the panel or just through the words that were spoken, through the illustrations, the examples. Father, we thank you that I'm just praying for all the men and women who came out tonight, that you will increase their understanding, but really the word of God will go into their hearts, into their ears, but into their hearts regarding the subject of healing. And for those tonight who perhaps have illness in their bodies, disease, sickness, in the name of Jesus, healing belongs to you, and we call you healed now in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful evening.